There's this funny thing at my apartment, right? So like in our freezer literally, when I tell you that joint be making ice cubes cold, cooler than cooler, cooler than King Cold, cooler than a freezer. Like, but when I have this I have this like pot sort of thing that I use that I plug into the wall to boil my water for whenever I want to make some like instant coffee or tea. And that joint be hot. Like I got the coldest of the cold of ice cubes to go into the hottest of hot of waters or tea or coffee to cool it down slightly. Not so that I can be cold, but so that I can still be hot, but I can tolerate the heat. Or it's warm, like just really warm, you know? Why I say all that? Because I literally just pour some into my cup. Let's get into today's episode. And for today's episode, we're gonna talk about something that is really, really important to me. It's been important to me for most of my life, honestly, and that's nostalgia. And what we're gonna talk about today is why nostalgia will always matter. And honestly, what really, really, really made this topic important to me to discuss, besides Joker 2 coming out and everyone is literally just dumping on it. They are dumping on it. When I tell you like the people that I watch when it comes to reviews and whatnot are dumping on Joker 2, but people that I would never really go to for reviews or anything like that are also talking about it. I'm like, it must have been trash. Now, we can talk about just franchise reboots. I literally watched a video today of Rick Ross saying, "Hey, we should have Scarface 2 because Tony got such and such pregnant." And I was looking at the comment section, and literally people are quoting, like, Tony literally said, "We can't, I'm never getting this girl pregnant." And this is the girl that Tony really wanted to get pregnant. I mean, not get pregnant, but this is Tony's girl. If Tony is Tony from Scarface, for some of y'all that might not know, Tony was Tony Montana. Tony Montana. If you don't know, you don't know, but go back and check it out, honestly. Me personally, and honestly, so we can really get into this topic, I remember the first time I watched Scarface. The first time I watched Scarface, I was like 16 years old, 16, 17 years old. And I remember when I first watched Scarface, and part of me always felt like, dang, I agree with Rick Ross. You know what I mean? I agree with him. Like, in a way, not completely. I like 10% agree with him. 90% is like, no, don't do it. Scarface should have had a sequel. Maybe. But for me, as a teenager, watching this film, and coming to my own personal conclusion that, you know what, this doesn't need a sequel. Scarface dies in the end. Spoiler, but check out the movie. Still a good movie. Some movies don't need sequels. And to tie that to the whole nostalgia thing, listen, when it comes to nostalgia for me, for your boy, nostalgia, honestly, nostalgia, what is even nostalgia? Nostalgia, for me personally, I'm giving my own personal description, my own definition for what nostalgia is for me. Nostalgia is this. Nostalgia is this. This is nostalgia for me. This Son Goku t-shirt that I have on right now as I'm recording this episode, that's nostalgia for me. I literally was introduced to Dragon Ball Z when I was like 5, 6 years old. Shout out to Victor, Mike, and Chester. If y'all ever listen to this, hopefully y'all catch this episode. If you don't, catch it sometime in the future. But literally, if it weren't for those three guys, when it comes to Dragon Ball Z, I would never know about Dragon Ball Z. I would never, ever know about Dragon Ball Z. I would never, ever know about Dragon Ball. And so for me, when it comes to nostalgia, nostalgia is such a, for me, it's such a delicate topic, because I think today, I would hope that today, a lot of people share a similar mindset to myself, in that I don't want to sound like the old head that's like, back in my day, Dragon Ball Z was better. Now they're coming out with Dragon Ball Diamond. I don't know what the fuck that shit is. What the fuck is that Dragon Ball Diamond? Like, no, I'm not trying to make it like that. But to a certain degree, yeah. To a certain degree, yeah. Like, when you think about nostalgia, I grew up watching, for me as a kid, I grew up watching Pokemon. I grew up watching Digimon. I grew up watching Power Rangers. I grew up watching Yu-Gi-Oh! I grew up watching Dragon Ball Z. I grew up watching Naruto. And Star Wars, I can keep going and going as far as nostalgia goes. And there's always this common saying between generations that's always said, back in my day, gas only used to be 1 cent. Back in my day, gas only used to be 50 cent. Gas in my day used to be a dollar. I wish gas was a dollar today. It's not. But I just make those comparisons because although, yeah, you may or may not want to acknowledge that I'm doing the same thing with this topic today, but I also want to just be very honest about nostalgia. I remember the first time I heard about the word nostalgia. I was in high school, actually. I was in high school and I heard of the word nostalgia. And I remember, it's like, you remember when you were in school, if you were in school and you're in your reading class, your spelling class, whatever, you learn a new vocabulary word. And it's like, oh, I like this word. I remember growing up in Baltimore and going to middle school, and a lot of my classmates, if any of y'all catch this episode, when we learned about the word irk, I swear to goodness, all of my classmates, yo, shorty irking me, yo. I can't stand this dude. He stay irking me. Like, it's just certain words that just hit for you. They hit for you. Whether it is how they sound or how they make you feel, or just fully understanding what the word means and it just lines up that perfectly for you that you have to add it to your own personal vocabulary. Nostalgia has been a part of my vocabulary since I was in high school. Now, granted, I went to high school in North Carolina, but I remember just hearing the word nostalgia for the first time. And I remember hearing, I'm like, dang, that's a big word. Okay, no, nostalgia is not a big word, but it's like a nostalgia. Nostradamus. Like, it's one of those words that's like, dang, like, nostalgia? What is this word? Dang, that joint kind of hit. Nostalgia. Nostalgia. You feel me? And that word has always stuck with me because for me personally, growing up, while I do have current TV shows and films that I like to watch and whatnot, is stories that I like to hear, nothing ever really beats nostalgia. Just going back in the past and visiting like an old film, old TV show, an old book, an old story, an old video game. You know what I mean? Currently, right now on my YouTube channel and Twitch, I'm streaming Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 3. Now, the reason why I'm even streaming that right now is because some of y'all might know, and for those that know, y'all are real ones. You guys are the real ones. Dragon Ball, what should have been Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 4 is coming. No. But what should have been Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi 4, aka Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, as many of you guys might know today, is coming out this week. And so, essentially, I'm going back and playing Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 3 now. because that was one of the games for me that I will always say, it's not without critiques, it's not without certain objections or whatever you would like to say for that, but it's one of those games that I always played. As I literally just recall today that the game came out in 2007. This game came out in 2007. Do you guys know how old I was in 2007 when this game came out? I was 11 years old. Now, mind you, for me growing up, I think the first Dragon Ball Z game I played was, I remember Dragon Ball Budokai. I remember the Dragon Ball, or Dragon Ball Z Budokai. I remember Dragon Ball Z Legacy of Goku. I'm sure y'all know Boo's Fury. I used to run Boo's Fury crazy on the Game Boy SP back in the day. Nostalgia. I used to play, I've had all the Budokai games from Budokai 1, 2, and 3. I have had all the Budokai Tenkaichi games. I remember when me and my boy Victor, back in the day, when Budokai Tenkaichi came out. This was after Budokai 3, which is arguably probably one of the best Budokai games. Arguably. Probably one of the best Budokai games when it comes to Dragon Ball Z, right? I remember when Tenkaichi 1 came out, and I was literally like, oh, you can't transform. Like, I remember playing the game and feeling like the graphics improved, but at the same time too, you couldn't transform. It didn't feel like a real Dragon Ball Z game. You can't transform. You literally had to pick Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta. You couldn't pick like Super Saiyan 4 Goku and Super Saiyan 4 Vegeta to get Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta. Like, just little stuff like that. And then they came out with Tenkaichi 2, which me, personally to me, I will ride hard. No pause, because it's just a freaking game. Relax. For Tenkaichi 3. But Tenkaichi 2, when that game came out with Trunks on the cover with his Z sword, and you just, like, if you know, you know. You know that cover with Trunks in his Super Saiyan 1 form, and he's literally just looking straight at you. Right slightly above his Z sword. That was my game. I really love that game because of the gameplay. You could finally transform. You could also fuse your characters. You could play as giant characters like the Great Apes, like Harutigan. Oh my gosh, fucking Harutigan. I remember learning about Harutigan when I was playing that game. I hadn't even watched Dragon Ball Z movie 13. Like, just that, like fighting against great apes. That game to me, I will always treat it like it has a slight edge over Tenkaichi 3 just purely off the campaign. Being able to fly around the campaign to grab your Dragon Balls and make a wish and get a new character, money, whatever. Undefeated. Now, fast forward to like a Tenkaichi 3. Dude, I just spent endless hours playing that game, dude. Endless hours. For me, as a kid, when I played a new game, the difficulty I'd go with was easy, obviously, because I'm a kid. Why the hell I want to play this shit on hard? But Tenkaichi 3 was the first game I played where it was like, I'm gonna play this shit on easy. We're gonna see what happens. But you know what was so great about Tenkaichi 3 compared to modern Dragon Ball Z games? You didn't have to pay for DLC. Now, obviously, the business model when it comes to video game companies overall, there'd be mad shit we could talk about. We could talk about Ubisoft. We could talk about this freaking Star Wars Outlaws game. Where the fuck is Knights of the Old Republic? I want a remake for that. I really do. But back in the day, when I was playing Tenkaichi 3, that was probably one of the last games you could play where you could have, and when I say game, I mean like a fighting game, where you could unlock all the characters through beating story mode and completing other different tasks and missions and whatnot. And I remember specifically, I think you could unlock something for the game if you beat it on hard mode. So when you play Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi 3, you have three difficulty options. You could play it on easy mode, you could play it on normal mode, aka average, and you could play it on hard mode. Now, granted, when you play games that came out after that, like even a Call of Duty Black Ops, another game that I love so much, the campaign. Like, I actually love the Call of Duty Black Ops campaign and multiplayer and zombies. In that game, you can play as a recruit. You play regular. I think the difficulties after that is like hardened and veteran. I remember the first time I played veteran. Oh my gosh. I don't even want to get into Call of Duty right now. I love that game so much. I love Call of Duty Black Ops. But I'm not getting into that. But I say all that to say, when you compare the difficulties of a Black Ops 1 to a Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi 3, these are the two of the games that I played a lot, especially during high school. I was still playing Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi 3 during high school. I might have said it in a previous episode or just a video on my channel somewhere. But when I played Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi 3 on the hard difficulty, it was challenging-ish. I was getting challenged. But when I tell you, they say this, one of the strongest villains in Dragon Ball Z is Kid Buu. Not Majin Buu, Kid Buu. Kid Buu, I don't know how many times I threw my... Literally, if you guys are watching the video recording of this podcast, I'm literally holding up my PlayStation 2 controller right now. Because, like I said, I'm running through the game again just to get re-familiar with everything, right? Re-familiarizes everything. I'm literally missing my R1 little button thing compared to the L1 one and my R2 one. I literally threw this controller and my other controller at the TV mad fucking times. Just because if you literally fight Kid Buu on the hardest difficulty, you literally feel like you are living in that arc. I remember before I had moved to North Carolina back in 2010, I remember I was like, I want to play Tenkaichi 3 on the hardest difficulty one more time. Let it be just to unlock a new character or some new maps, whatever, whatever. I remember playing that and Kid Buu beat my fucking ass. Bad. I remember during that fight, you had to play as Hercule. If you guys know how Hercule is, you know. I'm not even gonna fucking say it. You had to play as Hercule. You had to play as Majin Buu. I think you had to play as Vegeta. And then I think ultimately you played as Goku. Once you got to Goku during that fight, you're pretty much close to the end of that battle. But when I tell you, I died so many times fighting. I was about to say Majin Buu. But I died so many times fighting Kid Buu. I was pissed. I was fucking pissed. That is literally probably top three moments as a preteen teenager that I was genuinely pissed the fuck off. I don't know how many times I threw my controller at that fucking box TV. Listen, you kids. Them flat screens y'all got, them flat screens ain't shit. If a flat screen falls over on the ground, that shit is cooked. If a box TV fell over on the ground, pick that heavy ass TV back up and it's still gonna be good. Just a history lesson for y'all. I'm gonna leave it at that. But eventually, when I beat Kid Buu, every single other opponent I fought in story mode, Baby, Super 17, Sin Shenron, Omega Shen, anybody I fought moving, nothing, washed. Because Kid Buu made me work for that shit. I was literally in the midst of rewatching Dragon Ball Z in middle school when I fought Kid Buu. And I was at the point where I was, you could say I might have been trying to be a little corny. Who knows? I might have been trying to be a little corny. But this is me personally. I was literally like, I want to rewatch Dragon Ball Z, but I want to make sure each arc that I get through, I'm playing in Tenkaichi. And funny enough, I think that's low-key what motivated me to replay Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi 3 on the hard difficulty 2, was that I did start from the jump, but I did get to the point where I was in the Buu saga. Funny enough, believe it or not, I shit you not, I'm not bullshitting you. I was literally watching the Buu saga again. And when I tell you, I'm like, okay, I'm at the episode now where Goku's the super spirit bomb is almost ready. And I'm over here still getting washed by Kid Buu. Literally. You feel me? Eventually I beat him, obviously. And like I just said, I literally washed everybody else afterwards. Yes, if you know, you know. But I just say all that to say, when it comes to nostalgia, that is what nostalgia is for me. I love just going back and revisiting where certain TV shows came from, where certain films came from, where certain games came from. On a side note, this is on a side note though. If you guys know, I love Star Wars. I love it. See ugly ass Ben Solo Kylo Ren back there in the corner. Just look at my thumb if you're watching the video. But I love Star Wars. And I remember I had played Knights of the Old Republic for the very first time in 2019. I remember that. And I remember being a kid in like second grade and third grade, fourth grade, getting these Game Informer magazines and seeing Darth Revan and seeing Darth Malak and seeing these different EU expanded universe Star Wars characters. And I didn't think nothing of it. I was like, that's whatever. It's like, I don't care about Star Wars like that. A year later, I started caring about Star Wars. And probably like what, 12, 13, 14 years later, I finally played Knights of the Old Republic. And graphics aside, love that game. Knights of the Old Republic 2 could be better if you get the default version. There is like a modded version that you can play where essentially you don't have to worry about like what you deal with in the sequel to that game. But probably one of the best Star Wars games, best games I ever played, in my opinion. It doesn't have to look as good as a Spartan Zero. It doesn't have to look as good as a Jedi Survivor. That's just me personally. Now, I wanted to get to another conversation about nostalgia and what makes nostalgia so special, right? And I'm sorry, y'all. I'm recording and currently I'm at 25 minutes. Some stuff might get cut out at this point if you're watching this post-production, post-editing. But I wanted to talk about the fact that there's a good and a bad to nostalgia, right? And that's why you kind of have to have a balance. In general, you have to have a balance. But, you know, nothing's wrong with nostalgia. Feed your passion. I don't know when it's going to be the next time that I rewatch the entire Power Rangers series again. Up until SBD, maybe. And I cut it off right there, you know? But I think the beautiful thing about nostalgia is that nostalgia does create community. It does really, really, really create community. because even though these things weren't nostalgia when I was a kid, and it just all felt very, very current, like playing these Budokai and Budokai Tenkaichi games and Sagas too. What y'all know about Sagas? What y'all know about Sagas? Loki, personally, I'm not gonna say I hated Sagas, but I was like, damn, this game, after you get to a certain point in the story, this shit kind of challenging, but we'll figure it out, you know? I would like to play Sagas again on in the future. Not on this channel. I haven't played it on this channel, but if y'all want that, feel free to let me know. In any way, any capacity, if you comment on the video on YouTube or you DM me, whatever, I would like to play Sagas. But nostalgia creates this community where, for me growing up in the early 2000s, the internet was just the internet wasn't a fetus when I was growing up, but the internet was like, it was like a teenager. I feel like the internet is kind of in its early 20s right now. It's like in this early adult stage where it's like, it seems like it's at capacity, but there's still so much you can do on the internet. Whereas when I was a kid, the internet was more so like in its teens, like it's evolving, it's growing, right? There's more you can do. You don't have to use dial-up no more to go play your Arthur game like I did when I was 5 years old. But at the same time too, there's just, how would I put it? There's just more that the internet can do today. You know what I mean? And I feel like the internet is like in this early 20s, maybe 30s sort of thing. It's not old yet. The internet's not old. Man, if the internet's old, I don't know what I'm gonna do with my life. If y'all think the internet is old. But aside from that, yeah, it just created a community. I know for some of y'all growing up, you guys were like me. You watched the newest episode of Dragon Ball Z. Like, even when, I remember when Gohan was becoming the great Saiyan man. And then I remember when Videl was trying to be a great Saiyan man. And I used to call her the great Saiyan woman. And then I remember playing as a character on Tenkaichi 3. And I'm like, oh, great Saiyan man 2. I'm like, okay, great Saiyan man 2 then. But we know who's 1 and 2. That's all I'm going to say. And growing up watching Power Rangers and meeting friends that you're like, hey, Kimberly was high, you feel me? But so was Jennifer. You feel me? I'm kidding. Yo, Trakina though. Don't sleep. You feel me? Anyways, Pokemon was probably one of the biggest community builders of nostalgia. Yu-Gi-Oh too, but Yu-Gi-Oh kind of had a limit. Like, once Yu-Gi-Oh went into the whole GX elemental heroes sort of thing, I was kind of like, that's cool, but what the fuck is this? So you're telling me this elemental hero is stronger than Slifer the Sky Dragon? Are you serious? Get the fuck out of here. I don't believe it. Nonsense. I was 10 years old, feeling that. But that's how I felt. But Pokemon was one of those ones where it's like, it really built community. It really, really built community for me growing up.